Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Overnight America with Ryan Recker on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
Welcome back to Overnight America, hour number three. We're after 10 o'clock now, and I'm going to keep things open here. Let's see. If you want a text message, you can at 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. On February 18th, 2003, Nan Wyatt, part of the KMOX family, she was doing mornings here, Total Information AM. It was around 6 o'clock or so. She was at her house, and her husband, Thomas, shot and killed her. It was one of those things that really people here in the KMOX newsroom couldn't believe what they were hearing or seeing. They didn't believe it. And I'm going to talk to Carol Daniel about that in just a moment and give her account of what it was like here at KMOX at the time. But 17 years ago on this day, we don't want to forget the just wonderful talent and person that was Nan Wyatt, and we should talk about these things. Some time ago, it was, what, just 10, no, not 10 years ago or so, but I mean, there's been other follow-up interviews where they've checked in on her son, and at the time, her son Drake was 7 years old. Put some perspective into that, he just turned 24. Just turned 24. It's amazing how fast things could change. It's amazing how fast time could go by before you even know it. You go from 7 to 24. So earlier today, when Carol was in and she was working her regular shift here and doing the afternoon's news on KMOX, I took a couple of minutes with her before she had to go to her meetings or obligations in the afternoon. And I wanted to talk to her about Nan Wyatt and who was Nan Wyatt. What did she mean to KMOX and what was that like at the time? And I feel like this is good for us to preserve her memory and let people know we haven't forgot about that dark, dark moment in KMOX history when her life was lost. Carol Daniel, thank you for talking about this. It's one of those dark days in KMOX history. February 18th, 2003 is when Nan Wyatt was killed.
Right.
What were you doing at KMOX in 2003?
The same thing I'm doing now, actually. Yeah. I was, I shouldn't say the same thing, but I was co-anchoring Afternoon Drive, and I was a reporter, anchor and reporter, even then.
Were you in the building when you heard the news?
I was at home, actually, and my brother, one of my brothers called me and asked me, was I watching the news? And I wasn't, and so I called the newsroom to find out, is it true? And I was told it is true. And so then I, you know, crying and talking to my, I was just in shock. And then I started talking to my husband about it. So it was just a, we just had no idea that things were that bad, that her husband was, you know, had that kind of rage. We just didn't even know.
How long did you know Nan?
Well, when she, not long, she had come here to take over Morning Drive, and probably, what was she here 2 years before? I mean,
was she here, left and came back? Is that how it worked?
Long time ago. I wasn't here in her previous stint. I wasn't here.
She was with WBBM in Chicago. Brief stint up there.
And was recruited to come here and anchor Morning Drive.
Yeah.
And our son's birthdays are, her son's birthday is February 14th.
Right.
And my son's birthday is tomorrow.
Wow.
Is February 19th. And so they're both the same age. They were
24?
Yeah. And 24. So when she was killed, you know, he had just celebrated his birthday, her son and Drake. And I was planning a party, which they were going to come. They had come to previous birthday parties. And, So I thought immediately about my son, you know, mm-hmm. do you cancel a party? We were grieving here. They brought in a grief counselor mm-hmm. here. And the one thing that stays with me, Ryan, that the grief counselor said to me was, as a reporter, you're going to want to know why. Mm-hmm. You're going to want to know answers, not even just as a reporter, but someone who knew her and worked with her. You're going to mm-hmm. want to know answers. And she said, you have to prepare yourself to not get any answers and to be okay with that.
It's tough working in news when that's your nature, is to always want to dig up more, find more, and when it's something personal like that.
I still want to talk to him today. I still want to, I think about that frequently, wanting to sit down with him and ask him why.
Hmm.
What happened?
Well, he's not going anywhere. Apparently, I was reading 2030 would be his earliest eligibility for parole, so he's going to be in jail for a while. I wonder, too, that night when you heard the news, I understand you probably did exactly what everyone else did, was call in because they couldn't believe what they were seeing mm-hmm. or hearing. And I understand KMOX became almost like a central place where people just gathered. They wanted to be with everyone else because this was such a difficult thing to learn one of your coworkers and someone you cared about was killed. What was it like that night?
My husband did not want me driving.
Yeah.
So I did not come that evening, mm-hmm. I don't believe. And keep in mind, I had small children at home.
Yeah.
And so I didn't. But the next day, you almost don't want to see anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And you almost don't want to talk about it. But Tom Langmeier, our boss at the time, I don't know if he called everybody, but he certainly called me. And I found out from him that he had to identify her.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember asking him, are you okay? And it was just a really surreal time because I didn't know him well, but I had been out to dinners with him.
Yeah.
I had been around him. And she and I talked a lot about because they were the same age, and we talked a lot about our kids. They were in the same, going into kindergarten, and so we had all these conversations about motherhood,
mm-hmm.
and she never, and I wouldn't expected her to have told me anything about him and about their marriage being in trouble or anything. But I still have to this day a Mary Engelbreit calendar page from like a desk calendar. And she mm-hmm. and she wrote on that page that day. It was Dr. King's birthday. And she wrote on the page that day about her future and her future plans. I didn't know at the time what the plans were, but she was going to leave him.
Mm.
And she'd written that on that page to me, and I just, whatever you're going to do, go for it, because you can do anything you want to do, mm-hmm. you know? I found out later that what that plan was, and so.
When you work in news and things become personal in that way, and this is going to sound kind of like a strange question, but.
I hope not.
Does anything change? So after.
Like to me or the news or coverage or what?
The way that you look at news stories after there's some sort of tragedy to someone you know. Does that change the way you look at stories?
I would first say that is not a crazy question. That is a great question. And it changed me. But I had gone through things in my own life that mm-hmm. I looked at news and various stories differently.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember someone saying to me once that I wasn't rhymes with ditch. I wasn't ditchy enough.
Mm-hmm.
I'd go further if I was.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, that wasn't me, because I just see the humanity in everything. And mm-hmm. so... when she was killed, I had dealt with, not in my current marriage, but in my 20s, in bad relationships.
Mm.
So to learn that there might have been that in her relationship, I wish I had known.
Yeah.
So it did change me, Ryan, in that If you go to my desk right now, I have a picture of my sons and my husband. And a lot of people have pictures of their family on their desk. I didn't used to have that because we all share desks and people sit at different desks. Yeah. So I didn't personalize it. But I did two things after Nan was killed. I changed my bio, my biography, to the first line of which is now she is first and foremost a wife and mother.
Mm-hmm.
I changed that after she died because she loved being a mother. And she had at one point in her life thought she wasn't going to be a mother. And then late in life, she became a mother. And we expressed our frustrations about it and the difficulties of it and, you know, the wonder of it.
Yeah.
And so I knew that about her in my conversations woman to woman with her.
When
and
you're at the same stage of life, you know, you're experiencing.
Yes.
When your kids are the same age, you start to experience things in a very similar way.
And you're professional women.
Yeah.
And you're perceived in a certain way because she was perceived as being a hard-nosed reporter, tough questions. She was perceived that way. But then you have a child and you're, you know, and then all these other parts of you come out as a woman, as a mom. So that changed me, certainly, that the most important thing in my life, in her life, was being a mother.
Yeah.
It wasn't this job. It was not this job.
Yeah. It's hard to believe that was 17 years ago. I was talking to Megan Lynch about this a little bit ago, and she said it's kind of a shame when you start to forget about these things, you know, because it happened so long ago and it's not top of mind. So I want to thank you for coming on talking about Nan White. It's good that we get to spend some time remembering her tonight.
She was critical to this organization. She was fantastic at what she did. She would have been a mentor to other women in the business. She is missed. She's missed.
Yeah. Carol Daniel, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you, Ryan.
Wow. God love you, Nan White. And I know many of you that listen to this program have been listening to KMOX for many years, and that name, whenever that comes up, you think to yourself, what a shame. What a shame. So thank you for remembering her tonight on Overnight America, KMOX.
Now back to Overnight America on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
Welcome back to Overnight America. We're going to post that interview online as part of the podcast at KMOX.com/ONA. We do that at the end of every hour. We post each hour of the show, which is easy for you to go back and listen to it just based on the things you want to listen to. The way an hour breaks down, so after you take out the commercials, after you take out the news and the weather, things like that, it's about 40 minutes an hour of actual content that I come up with on this show. So we do 4 hours a night, so you have 4 40-minute podcasts posted every night. There's a lot that we cover, and I know a lot of people do appreciate that we post it hour by hour because, yes, it's sometimes hard for you to listen to, you know, a giant one podcast. This way you can kind of skip ahead to the parts that you want. You know what? We kind of broke up, or maybe there's parts that you missed and it makes it easier for you to find it. I would encourage you to definitely go online and look us up wherever you are in whatever podcasting app you use on your phone and just search Overnight America on there. So just recently, President Trump commutes former Governor Blagojevich's sentence, pardoned some other people, but many people are looking at the former governor of Illinois. And he was now out. The former governor, originally sentenced to 14 years, he ends up serving, was it 8 or 9? He was one time a contestant on Celebrity Apprentice. He was at the Denver International Airport. He was there being released, now free man. I didn't realize that they get out just like that. I thought there was like some process that has to happen first, and then originally they're, you know, eventually putting out. But no, boom, he's out. So CBS caught up with him.
A long journey, but I think the appropriate thing to say is that I speak for Patty, for my daughters Amy and Annie, and for me when I express our most profound and everlasting gratitude to President Trump for doing what he did. He didn't have to do this. He's a Republican president. I was a Democratic governor, and my fellow Democrats don't treat him very good.
Oh, they don't. Of course, he's going to be kissing the feet of a Donald Trump right about now. I really don't understand why you would commute the sentence there. I don't get why pardon. Why even bother? Corruption, when it comes to government, and he was found guilty of all of these things, it's not like something that, it's not something that was too ambiguous. He really was found guilty of these things. that he did commit. And we want to, it drives me crazy, even with Steve Stenger over in the county. Man, did he get a light sentence. It's ridiculous, the light sentence he got for public corruption. And yes, the good thing is corruption in politics is not in right now. It's out. The more we can get people that are corrupt out of their office and get people in there that actually want to serve the people, the better off we're going to be. I think we're realizing that. And the good thing is we can at least move forward now that the stinger's out. Now, what's going to happen next? You know, I think the next step would be the best step we could be taking is to get Circuit Attorney Kim Gardner out of office. We really want to move forward when it comes to getting bad people off the street and taking crime seriously, then she's got to go. And I think that's going to be the next thing we look into. You know, who knows how that plays a factor with Representative Justin Hill putting that legislative bill into place today, I guess. We'll see if they get that to committee or see how many people would support something like that. Here's something that Blagojevich brought up. I think you're going to like this one. So in that same interview with CBS, he was, you know, sentenced 14 years, only ended up serving a little over half of that. He was caught at the airport, and he said he was railroaded by the prosecutors.
There are a lot of communities in America that know what this has been like, to be able to be persecuted and railroaded by a corrupt and, frankly, racist criminal justice system.
So you said, was he saying somehow his criminal sentence, which he was found guilty of, was somehow racially motivated? I wonder how many people that are really into, you know, justice reform would look at Governor Blagojevich, a white boy, would look at him and say, oh, yeah, his race was a factor for him committing all those crimes and, getting the jail time. Are you kidding me? What? Come on now. That's going to get a couple of people to me, I laugh, but I'm sure some people are going to raise eyebrows.
There are a lot of communities in America that know what this has been like, to be able to be persecuted and railroaded by a corrupt and, frankly, racist criminal justice system.
All right, so yeah, he was... So is he saying people were racist against him in order to get him in jail? Oh, my goodness, you got to be kidding me. Kevin Killeen did a great whole nother story on Blagojevich not that long ago. I saw some of the clips on the local news. Now, I think Fox 2 had a video of it that popped up, showed him leaving in that airport in Dallas. Well, he had the gray hair, but we know that through many of those years, he had perfect hair. What did I hear? He traveled with like a comb. And of course, you know, politicians would have things to groom themselves in between appearances. But we're talking like this thing got the special treatment, like it was on a pillow, and they would carry it almost like a groom's, you know, when they're doing the weddings and the kid would walk up with the ring on a pillow. It's almost like that with this comb of his. So Kevin Killeen wanted to talk about his hair. You know, when you go in and you have this nice dark head of hair, and the next thing you know, we're seeing pictures from you inside of the prison. What happens? Your hair turns gray when you don't get to dye it. Things changed a little bit. Kevin Killeen did a whole nother story on that some time ago. That was great.
When he was facing possible prison time in 2009, a dark-haired Rod Blagojevich appeared on the David Letterman show.
Why exactly are you here? Honest to God. What?
Well, you know, I've been wanting to be on your show in the worst way for the longest time.
Well, you're on in the worst way, believe me.
About the same time, the dark-haired governor also appeared with somebody else, somebody who now has the power to pardon him.
So, Governor, you have a hell of a lot of guts, I have to tell you that. I have friends where things have happened to them. They crawl into a corner, they die. You're out there punching, so I respect that.
I appreciate that.
But things didn't work out for Blagojevich on The Apprentice.
And Governor, I have great respect for you. I have great respect for your tenacity, for the fact that you just don't give up. But Rod, you're fired.
A year or so after he was in prison, the questions about whether Rod Blagojevich colored his hair were answered. It had turned all gray. So, if pardoned, should Blagojevich dye it black again? Randy Walker cuts hair at the Maplewood Barbershop on Big Bend.
White hair only. No box dye.
What are the disadvantages of a box dye?
Dries the hair out, and it doesn't last.
All right, we'll go down the row here. Just people at the barbershop. What should Rod Blagojevich do with his hair? Leave it white or what?
Well, I think he's got bigger issues than the color of his hair, and I would just leave it if I were him.
Leave it gray?
Oh, yeah. He needs to show what he did in prison. Why should he get his hair colored?
What would you do if you were Rob Blagojevich and you had a chance to go back, turn back the time, and be young again?
Well, I'm 82, buddy. I dye my hair.
If he does get out, I'm predicting that Rob Blagojevich will exit prison with dark hair again. Why? Because when he went in, he still had a lot of poetry left in him.
Rudyard Kipling, in his poem, If, among the things he wrote was, if you can meet with triumph and disaster and treat those two imposters just the same.
With a whole nother story, I'm Kevin Killeen.
Dying the hair. Don't do it. Don't do it. You know, when President Trump was asked about why is he doing all this? Why are you commuting the sentence? Why? Here's President Trump.
We have commuted the sentence of Rod Blagojevich. He served 8 years in jail. It's a long time. And I watched his wife on television. I don't know him very well. I met him a couple of times. He was on for a short while in The Apprentice years ago. Seemed like a very nice person. Don't know him. But he served 8 years in jail. There's a long time to go. Many people disagree with the sentence. He's a Democrat. He's not a Republican. It was a prosecution by the same people, Comey, Fitzpatrick, the same group, very far from his children. They're growing older. They're going to high school now. They rarely get to see their father outside of an orange uniform. I saw that, and I did commute his sentence. So he'll be able to go back home with his family after serving 8 years in jail. That was a tremendously powerful, ridiculous sentence, in my opinion.
I don't know. I don't feel good about it. I really don't. You know, if you want to ask that question, you know, tell me. Maybe you know a little bit more about this than I do. But mostly, I don't feel good about commuting the sentence at all. I don't like it. 436-7900 or 800-925-1120. I'll take some of your calls coming up on Overnight America, KMOX. And Overnight America continues. So we're live until midnight. Got an hour and a half together. Here's the phone number, 436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Let's see what we got here. Let's start with Jimmy, who's calling in. Welcome to Overnight America.
It's rather damp at Pittsburgh International Airport. It's 32 degrees.
Sorry, where? 32? I'm sorry. I missed you at the very start of what you said there.
At Pittsburgh International Airport.
Oh,
but
Pittsburgh.
I live in a little town called Amon Valley, where the mill used to be,
yeah.
Monongahela Valley. Well, you know, the president, I like him. You know why? Because I've been to jail a couple times for some petty little things, but in Washington County, PA, that you see white and black, you don't see no other color in there. And in a little town where the glass factory is, there's immigrants, and I don't think they're too legal. But I'm American. I bring anybody. We're overflowing, but the cop goes by me, his hands are tied. But here they're illegal, and they live like pack rats, and they're illegal, all the apartments and stuff. And they jump people, and they beat people. Some of them do, you know, it's the truth. And the man hasn't had his way to say his side of the story, and you religious people have been condemning him, and you're alcoholics.
You've called in about this in the past. Is still going on where you live? Is this what you're calling in about?
So the news media is so old, it's so stale. The man had on a leisure suit tonight. He's an old drunk broadcaster, okay? You know, he's religious. He's lying in the church for 90,000. The Jesus I know is poor. He had on sandals and he took care of lepers.
Yeah, Jimmy, you lost me. I have no idea what you're talking about right now.
You know what I am talking about. You have a nice night. It comes in a package for Christmas.
Thank you very much, Jimmy. Very good to hear from you. All right, I was totally lost on that one. I'm sorry. I'm trying to figure out where he was going. Let's go to Joe from Festus. Welcome to Overnight America.
Good evening. I have a scenario for the presidential things this year. It might be unlikely, but I want you to bear with me while I give you my scenario, and then I want to ask you about something that we'd have to deal with after the election's over.
Mm-hmm.
I can see Bloomberg and Bernie not liking each other very much, and I can see Bernie taking a pretty good lead in early enough that Bloomberg won't be able to catch him, and Bernie might go ahead and be nominated by the Democrats. A lot of people think that would be a terrible thing to happen, but just bear with me. He gets nominated, and Bloomberg is still angry. There was so much vitriolic stuff going on between them. He decides, well, there's no way Bernie is going to be able to beat Trump. I've got plenty of money. I'm going to run as a third party. And so you've got three guys running, two extremely wealthy guys that will satisfy a lot of people. A lot of people will not vote for Trump. They'd rather have Bloomberg than Trump. And a lot of Democrats, the central ones, might not want to vote for Bernie. And you come to the election day and you have a three-way split. Nobody has the enough electors to be elected president. And so on the 3rd of January, they put in a new Congress. They go in 17 days ahead of the presidential race, and they've got a... You go to the 20th Amendment, and my gosh, the stuff they have to do to put things together to elect a president is just almost unlikely to be able to happen. I read the 20th Amendment today, and there's a lot of stuff in there that you know, the states have to go. Each one of the states has to come up with one elector apiece. So there's 50 electors, and even that could come out to be, you know, 25 to 24 to one or something like that.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I really don't see a scenario where Bloomberg decides to go independent. Like, if we go back into the 90s with Ross Perot and being flushed out of the system, so he comes in as someone that was truly outside of that sort of system, I don't see a Michael Bloomberg trying to force his way like a Ross Perot did. And even if that were to happen, I don't see him taking any states. I think that if you're a Democrat or a Republican, you feel like, you know, you could do Bernie, or you can do Trump. And I don't see any Republicans switching over to a Bloomberg as an independent, because he's
not. I see a huge difference between Bloomberg and Perot. Perot was borderline nutcase, and he got 19% even after dropping out and getting back in. I think, you know, but and I can really see Bloomberg deciding that he's not going to live up to what he said he would do toward Bernie. I'll be watching him closely tomorrow night. Thank you for listening to me. I appreciate your patience.
Thank you, Joe. Good to hear from you. And with Bloomberg getting on the stage, all the Democrats, it's blood in the water, because there have been so many different reports that came out about Bloomberg, and they are attacking him from every way they can possibly find a way to attack him. I mean, so they got him on what they believe he's racist. They believe he hates minorities, hates farmers, wants to kill the elderly. So, I mean, he's got a lot going against him. Oh, and he's super rich trying to buy his way into it. And the only reason he's on the stage is because they changed the rules to get him there. So do you think the other candidates are going to enjoy ganging up on him tomorrow night? Oh, boy, they will. They will. Let's go to Tyson, who's calling in. Welcome to Overnight America.
Hey, Ryan, what's happening?
Hey, good.
I am all for Trump commuting Blagojevich's sentence. I've read the transcripts. I'm not even sure what he did wrong, much less deserving 14 years.
Mm. When you read the transcripts, what stood out to you that they got wrong?
There was no direct quid pro quo that I read. Like, he didn't say, I'll give you this if you do this. It was more kind of hinting around.
I mean, did you hear the last campaign for the governorship in Illinois, the tapes between him and the current governor of Illinois, Pritzker?
I did. Yeah.
He was doing the same thing with Pritzker, too. So it doesn't surprise me that he was selling a Senate spot, or trying to at least.
Well,
he was convicted, though. I mean, why do you believe he was convicted if the evidence wasn't there? What do you think was the thing that convinced everyone that he was guilty?
I think for whatever reason, juries believe the government side of a case. I think that's why their conviction rate is 97% or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm. So you probably see,
and they're mad at politicians, you know, they would love to put, because he didn't do anything they all don't do. I wonder who he made mad that he got prosecuted.
I don't know. I think that it's not necessarily a payback thing. I don't see it a payback. I think most people look at it and say, yeah, he probably did it. And that's the cause. When we look at government corruption anymore, when we look at the way politicians get away with a lot, it doesn't bother me when someone gets caught red-handed doing something very serious that they go to jail for a while for. It doesn't bother me at all.
Right. But that kind of goes to what I'm saying is they all are kind of corrupt, and we see it all the time, and they get away with it. Who did he make mad that he got prosecuted to that extent?
Very good, Tyson. Thank you for calling in. Good to hear from you.
One other thing. Did Trump mention McCabe when he was talking about commuting his sentence? Because I find it very interesting the Justice Department didn't want to prosecute McCabe. We've talked before about holding the FBI accountable, right? They want to send Stone to prison for 9 years, yet McCabe, they're not even going to prosecute him. Break. That guy deserves more than 9 years.
Yeah, and I think they just closed the investigation on him, too. And that's, I think the FBI was the one that closed the investigation on him, so I don't know what else they're going to do with that. I mean, there could be something else that comes up in the future, but you know, the tough thing is, it seems like I don't know if he's just the luckiest guy in the world or they just don't have the right stuff on him right now. The big question, I think, with McCabe and the way that he handled things is that there's a certain amount of, it's different than Blagojevich in a way that McCabe, if you're actively involved in a current investigation, I think it gives you a little bit more liberty when the things come back at you. It's hard to explain. I really look at McCabe as someone that if it wasn't for his involvement in the investigations to begin with, then he would have been prosecuted. But otherwise, I think he's relying on saying that I had some sort of immunities. And I really don't know what the big defense is there, but you would think they would have been able to get something together for him by now.
Well, he did the same thing that all the Trump cronies are going to jail for, which is lying to the investigators. I think it was the Justice Department that was investigating him, not the FBI.
Oh, the Justice Department. Yeah, I think you're right.
Right.
Yeah. All right. That's a good point. Thank you, Tyson.
All right. Take care.
All right. Let's go to Bob real quick. What's going on, Bob?
Oh, yeah. I'm a phone call.
Oh, can you get a little bit closer to your phone? I can barely hear you.
Can you hear me better now?
Yeah, it's muffled. Do you have like your phone on your shoulder or something?
I've been having problems with my phone. I touch your line and said that I'm good at this point. Can you hear me better now?
Yeah, no, I can't understand what you're saying. It sounds very muffled. So you said you're having problems with your phone. Is not the signal at your phone?
It's my speaker. Can you hear me better now?
No, I'm sorry, I don't.
I don't know.
Still, I can barely, maybe if you say it really quick, I might be able to catch it.
How about now?
Still nothing. I still can't understand. Okay. It's very difficult.
But there's a, Trump did not have time to avoid it.
Ah, Bob, I'm sorry. I can't understand you. I'm sorry. You know, is there a way you can call back on a different phone?
No. Your guy who answered my phone said, you sound good now, I'm
sorry, Bob. I can't understand. There's something weird about the phone there. If you got another line you can call in on, feel free to call back. 436-7900 or 800-925-1120 on Overnight America KMOX.
This is Overnight America, sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com on KMOX.
And welcome back to Overnight America. Got a couple of minutes here before we get to the news with CBS and Alex Degman, close to 11 o'clock. Then we have another hour together as we're live until midnight with the replay hours after that from midnight to 2 a.m. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. I wanted to bring up the thing that came out earlier. And when you hear this song, what do you think of? Bow, 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 bow. If you own a bass guitar, it feels at some point you have to learn this song. And a lot of times, 99 out of 100 times when you hear this song, you think of Rush Limbaugh. He's used this song for the longest time. It is a song by The Pretenders. Do you know what the name of this song is? Or have you actually listened to this? I know some people, if they, you know, were curious what it was, or maybe they had the best of The Pretenders, this was on it. It's a song called My City Was Gone. And, you know, it's kind of cool. You know, you, I feel like most people have never heard the lyrics of this song ever.
There was no train station. There was no downtown. Bow, ba-da, bow, bow. Sometime it disappeared. All my favorite places. My city had been pulled down. Reduced to a pen.
All right, here we go. To me, nothing sounds better than hearing this song on AM radio because of Rush Limbaugh. I know. Producer Alex, have you ever once heard this song outside of Rush Limbaugh's show? No. I'm guessing a lot of people haven't. I'm guessing this may be the first time anyone's ever heard the lyrics to this song. A lot of people listening tonight. So it's, you know, Pretenders, My City Was Gone. I was under the impression that they were not happy Rush Limbaugh was using this. I don't know why I was under that impression, because earlier today, the Washington Times posted this. The Pretenders frontwoman, Chrissy Hynde, penned an open letter to President Trump saying that her late father would have enjoyed his presidency and would have been delighted to see the president award Rush Limbaugh with a Medal of Freedom. She's 68 years old, guitarist and singer of The Pretenders, revealed that her father liked Mr. Limbaugh, who used her song on a syndicated show with her permission. I was really under the impression this was not used under her permission. It was just something that was licensed and she tolerated it. I had no idea. She said, quote, I loved listening to Rush, which was why I allowed my song, My City Was Gone, to be used on his radio show. My father and I didn't always see eye to eye. We argued a lot, but isn't that the American way? The right to disagree without having your head chopped off. Ms. Hyde then got on to a message urging Trump to secure release of WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange. So went on to that and write this letter and just saying, you know, this is a good thing. So she puts this whole letter out there and says, way to go, Rush Limbaugh. And I'm glad this worked out. Wow. Isn't that something? I just thought that was great. Yeah. How many people listening right now, if this was the first time you've ever heard the lyrics to that song, because you've only heard the start of Rush Limbaugh's program and you've never actually heard the song out in the wild, feel free to give me a message at 436-7900. Just text in. There was another moment on Rush Limbaugh's program the other day. I wanted to play a part of this because it was something that was pretty heartwarming.
And when you're done with me, if I could talk to you, Mr. Sturley, briefly.
Well, okay, I'm done with you. I'm done with you. Sturley wants to talk to you. All right, so we'll take a brief timeout, my friends, and be back. Wrap up the hour right after this. Don't go away.
Filter. All right, so then he goes to break. Rush.
I just asked Sturley, you think I ought to mention this? I just asked Snurdly, lightheartedly, what did that guy want that was through talking to me? He wanted to talk to you. And Snurdly did not hesitate, did not drop a beat, said he wanted to donate a lung if you wanted one. And then Snurdly said, well, you're getting two of those a day? Oh, wow. Wow, okay. That would have been the last thing that I would have. I thought he was making arrangements to call back in, you know, trying to grease the skids to get in again. Well, I tell Anna, you all just continue to stop me dead in my tracks. I continue to get emails and flowers and cards. I mean, it's voluminous, and it is so touching. I mean, people recounting experiences they had 30 years ago, 25 years ago. And this is why I said last week that it,
how lucky I am, and people have trouble understanding that. But believe me.
And so this is from Rush's program just a couple of days ago. I think this might have been Friday's show. So he's done some shows since then, and wow, twice a day someone calls in and offers, you know, if you need an organ, Rush, I got it for you. Listening for, you know, 20, 30 years in some cases. Some people have been listening to the program that long. Not quite 30 years on KMOX, but still his program. Isn't that amazing? So here's a text message. That's definitely the first time for me listening for 15 years. Didn't even know the song had words. To the Rush Limbaugh song. Well, the Pretender song, I should say. We got another hour of Overnight America coming up. There's a movie that's being produced right now that I can't wait to tell you about. This may be the best movie ever. That's up next, Overnight America.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.